Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Glenn Prosser was on an airplane on September 11th, 2001. It was diverted to Canada amid the terrorist attacks that were taking place in our country. He spent 4 days there. His and the experience of many other airline passengers who experienced that same travel itinerary is the basis of the musical Come From Away, which is playing at the Aronoff Center currently. Joining us is Glenn Prosser. Glenn, thanks so much for being here.
Good morning.
And we also have Genevieve Holt. She's the general manager of Broadway in Cincinnati. Genevieve, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Glenn, this is such an amazing tale and one that wasn't told for quite some time. And now it's being told in this really beautiful way, a very popular musical, Come From Away. Let's start by just going back to September 11, 2001 and what your experience was.
Well, I was in London on a business trip. In fact, it was a real short one. I left on a Saturday, got in on a Sunday, had some meetings on Monday, and left back for Cincinnati on Tuesday. And it was just like any other flight, very normal. Got on the plane, sat down, grabbed a magazine, started reading. About 4 hours into our flight, the pilot got on the intercom and announced that there was perhaps something wrong with the plane, and they wanted to land in Canada, the nearest runway. And we weren't exactly sure what that was all about, but we went along with it, and we began an approach for Gander, Newfoundland.
So when the pilot comes on and says that, that's got to feel somewhat frustrating. International flights are long.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I've flown quite a bit, and I think anyone who's flown international knows that you listen to you hear the pilot twice. About 30 minutes into the flight, he says, welcome, or she says, welcome to the flight. We're flying at this speed, and I'll talk to you again at the end of the flight. And that's typically what happens. So when a pilot gets on about 4 hours in the flight, you know something isn't right.
Okay, so go on with that. So you start to divert and land.
So we landed, and as we were approaching the runway in Gander, we noticed that there were probably another 30 or 35 jumbo planes at the airport. So we put two and two together and soon realized there probably wasn't something wrong with our plane, or there were problems with a lot of planes. We landed. And for the next 28 hours or so, we spent our time on the plane.
You stayed on the plane for more than a day?
That's correct.
You know, when we hear some of the more well-known stories from September 11th and the flights that were involved in the terrorist hijackings, we get details that some of the passengers were calling home because they figured out what was going on. They somehow learned what was going on. When you were told by the pilot that there might be some issue with the plane itself, tell me what you thought when you found out that wasn't the case.
Well, this is interesting because a lot of people were speculating what is going on, because the pilot on our flight, at least, and we were on Delta Flight 37, didn't share with us what was happening. In fact, after we landed, the pilot made an announcement and said, if anyone has a cell phone that works, please make some phone calls and get some more information around what is going on.
The pilot was asking for information.
Pilot. And the reason for that was the pilot could not speak with the towers unless it was for, I guess, emergency communication, because the tower was so focused on getting all these jetliners down to the ground. So the pilot really knew very little, if anything.
So when did people on the plane start to collect information? Was
there
a cell phone?
I had an international cell phone, and I was the only one on the plane that had a phone that worked. So I got my phone, and I was going to call my wife, but she was teaching school, so I know she wouldn't answer the phone. So, who do you call? You call your mother. So I got a hold of my mom up in Milwaukee. And I said, what's going on? And she says, what do you mean, what's going on? And I said, well, I'm in Gander, Newfoundland right now. And she said, where? And I said, Gander. And she says, well, and then she proceeded to tell me what happened. So when I was finished with that conversation, I went up to the cockpit and told the pilot what had happened. And then the plane was updated around what went all happened in New York and Pennsylvania and Washington.
So you had this role of letting a group of people know what was going on in September 11th.
Right. And this phone story continues because as time went on, people asked to use my phone, which I had no problem with at all. And then about an hour or so into it, or a couple hours into it, the batteries on my phone got to near zero. And it just so happened that the gentleman in front of me on the plane didn't have his phone. His phone was actually in the cargo hold. But for some reason, he had his phone charger. And that phone charger, for some reason, fit my phone. And so we were able to recharge the phone. And basically, that became the phone booth for the plane. And throughout the day, phone calls were made all over. And then I started thinking, I said, gosh, you know, this is probably going to be pretty expensive. So anyhow, fast forward to when I got back to Cincinnati a couple days afterwards, once I got back, I called Verizon and I said, I want you to know that my phone and Verizon was the only phone that worked on the plane. I wanted to thank you for that. And they looked up my record and they said, you're right, Mr. Prosser, you had over $1,400 of phone calls. And they put me on hold. I came back a few minutes later and they said, don't worry about it. We'll comp the bill. Wow. So I've got a phone bill that has a $1,400 credit on it for phone calls made all over the world on 9/11 and 9/12.
But you said that you spent 28 hours on the plane.
Correct.
Okay. So can you just tell us a little bit about that experience?
Well, I'll be honest. I was fortunate in that I was in business class. So it's kind of tough to really say you weren't real comfortable. But when you sit on a plane for 28, 30, 32 hours, it can get pretty pretty difficult.
But the experience of your flight and the dozens others that you saw there in Newfoundland inspired a creative story.
Right.
Now a musical, Come From Away. And Genevieve, the show is playing as part of the Broadway series in Cincinnati at the Aronoff Center through September 29. Tell us about it.
It is an unlikely story to, you know, one of my favorite anecdotes is when the writers had gone back to Gander to start doing some research. They knew they wanted to turn this into a musical. They were talking to one of the mayors and he said, let me get this straight. You're going to write a musical about people making sandwiches, you know? And they were like, yeah, we're going to make this work. And oh my gosh, dude, did they ever, they created a beautiful piece of theater there. They say it's basically 16,000 people's stories. 6,000 to 7,000 people got off the planes. There were only 10,000 people that lived there. These writers went up to Gander on the 10-year anniversary and started doing interviews. And so many people had such similar stories to what Glenn just shared. And they kind of started putting it together. And they only used 12 actors to portray all these different stories, both the people that lived there and people on the planes. And they did an incredibly beautiful job. They include the Newfoundland music sound is almost Celtic, but also has some folk to it. And so they use that music in it. And it's wonderful, a lot of fiddle. The music is really, really beautiful. But I don't know how they did it. I watched it again last night, and I still don't know how they put all this together so smoothly into a 90-minute no intermission show. And they do 90 minutes no intermission because they say the people in Gander didn't get a break. The people on the planes never got a break. You don't get a break when you watch this show. You go through it with them.
And that's what the story is. It's the response of that town in Newfoundland, Gander, and how they came to the aid of these stranded passengers that were aboard planes that were diverted there.
Exactly. They dropped everything. I mean, they literally dropped. The bus drivers were on strike. They came back from being on strike because they knew they had to move these people. Every public space became a shelter with cots. People brought their own sheets and blankets, and they cooked for them. I mean, Glenn can tell you more about that, but they did everything, and they didn't accept a penny for it.
Well, Glenn, that's what we do want to talk about is your
sure.
experience in Gander. I mean, you were on the plane for 28 hours, but did you deboard the plane at some point?
Yeah, we finally got off the plane Wednesday early afternoon. And we were herded into school buses and went through immigration and then taken to a small town by the name of Gambo. I ended up staying in a church. That's where our plane stayed along. There was also a fire department, a volunteer fire department where people stayed. And interesting, you talk about the food, and it was almost guilty that we were really living as well as we did during those 4 days there. But the first morning when I woke up, probably around 5:30 or so, I smelled breakfast, and it smelled fantastic. And what we found out is that the people from the church were up basically all night preparing breakfast for us and then lunch and dinner. And what was really touching is that serving us breakfast that first morning was a woman who we later found out was celebrating her 75th birthday. So there was a very small little store in town that we went to and got a birthday card and signed it from the plane people and so on, and we gave it to her. And she opened it up, and tears started coming down her eyes, and she said, "This is the best birthday I've ever had." And I think that is a tremendous example of the people there who thought nothing of themselves, but all they wanted to do was take care of the people who were on the planes.
And the story's all the more fascinating, of course, because this isn't just about being stranded somewhere you didn't intend to be. It's all happening in the backdrop of these terrorist attacks,
right,
where the country really changed. And in those early days, it was confusing for people who had access to constant information about it. How were you receiving information about what was happening in the U.S. over the next several days while you were in Canada?
It was very disjointed, and you're right. I mean, now you just get on your phone and you've got it all there. But back then, the church, for example, had no televisions. So they finally brought a TV in, and Canadian Broadcasting Company brought in a satellite dish so that we could watch news from the U.S. And we first saw the planes hit the towers Wednesday night. And of course, this happened on a Tuesday morning. So we were all huddled around a small TV that was probably, I don't know, maybe a 24-inch TV, something very small. And we just watched it for the first time, and then we watched it over and over and over again on that Wednesday evening. Then as far as telephones, Canadian Bell brought a phone bank of 8 to 10 phones, and people were then able to call home using those phones at no charge.
So you've seen the musical?
I have. In fact, I tell people I've seen it now 3 times, and I've experienced it live once.
Well, what do you think about it?
It's fantastic. I first saw it when it was playing at the Ford Theater in D.C., and afterwards, I was in awe of how accurately it captured those 4 days that I was in Newfoundland. They did just a tremendously just a marvelous job. It's got parts that are sad. It's got many parts that are happy and funny. The music, as Jen said, is fantastic. It's very well done.
When you look back on that time, what are your feelings about it now?
I'm asked that a lot, and to be honest, as I was living it, I didn't realize how significant of an event it was. Certainly, I recognized how significant it was in the U.S., but living through what I did in Gander, if I had known then what I know now, I would have saved my cell phone. I would have saved all the things that were part of that experience. But at the time, it was somewhat overshadowed by what was going on in the U.S. And then as time goes by, you reflect on it and you realize how important that experience was to the 7,000 people who were impacted on those airplanes.
Tell us about how you finally got back home. How did they clear out Gander?
Well, it was somewhat in reverse order. Again, the Gander Airport, it's interesting. It's actually, the runway, I think, is like 2.5 miles long, and it was that way because back before jets could fly from, the States all the way over to Europe, they would have to stop there for refueling. So anyway, they had to basically take off in reverse order. So we were one of the last planes to land. So we were, fortunately, one of the first planes to leave. we took off, and it was an unusual flight coming back home, because for myself, who travels a lot on business, when I typically get on an airplane, I find my seat, I sit down, I don't talk to anybody. I open up a magazine, I sleep, I'm kind of like in my own world. That, though, was kind of like a family flight. You knew all the people. There were people with tears in their eyes. They people were hugging. People were laughing. The pilot went down and shook the hands of every passenger on the plane, thanking them for their patience, for being good people. It was a very, very different flight coming back from Newfoundland into Cincinnati.
Come From Away plays at the Aronoff Center through Sunday, September 29th. We've been talking to Genevieve Holt, the general manager of Broadway in Cincinnati, and Glenn Prosser, who spent 4 days in Canada when he was on a flight from London to Cincinnati back home on September 11th. Glenn, Genevieve, thank you both so much for being here and chatting with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstrow. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.